Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay.
Okay guys, we are here today. We have another guest on the podcast. This is Keturah Mahor. She's been friends with Lizzie her whole life, so that's cool.
Not true.
I've known
her. My bad, should I start over?
No. She was at my sister's wedding.
Yeah, because your sister married
you
my cousin.
You ignored me the whole time.
We were like 10 or something.
That's the one. Her feelings over that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So you've known each other your whole lives.
Well, since I was like 8 or 9.
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways, how we feeling?
This is Keturah.
Hello. So, Keturah, are you excited about being on the podcast?
I am. I'm a little bit nervous.
That's understandable. As I told you yesterday, it would only be awkward for the first, 10 minutes, and then you'll be fine.
I got 10 more minutes.
You got 10 more minutes. Do you know you have 30 minutes? 30. You know that sound?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's funny.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Okay. So I have some questions for you. Are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Okay, so the first one, I just wanted to talk about your family a little bit. You grew up with 11 siblings, right?
Right. Well, actually, I had 10 siblings until, the past 2 years ago, my parents adopted a little girl.
Really? I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, it was honestly amazing. I loved being part of a big family. I was one of the older ones, so I think I had, a lot more responsibility than any of my friends. And sometimes I would be, jealous of my friends who would come home from school and just, have a snack, go take a nap.
Yeah.
And I had to do breakfast dishes. I was like,
what is this? did you guys have a dishwasher growing up?
We did, but it was always broken.
Yes. We never had one because every time we would ask my dad about it, he would be like, I have 7 dishwashers.
My dad said that too when it was broken. We didn't have a dishwasher, obviously, when we were Amish. But then the new house.
How long were you guys Amish?
I think I was 7. Or something.
When you guys left.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we were still basically Amish for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Were you guys charity?
Yeah. So we're Amish and then my parents left and then we were New Order Amish, which is still Amish, but we started to drive a car and
it's Amish but a different font.
Yeah. So scandalous. And they also believed you could be saved, whereas the Old Order Amish, it was all based on works and
Oh yeah.
And so my parents got excommunicated for actually reading the Bible and having Bible studies.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yes. And they were called the new believers. And anyway.
Wow.
So, but it was still very the focus was all on your outward.
Right.
And all of that. But they did there was a big group. They were searching. They got rebaptized.
Dude, good for them.
It was a start.
And good for your parents.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then we were a charity. And then we were Mennonite.
This sounds a lot like my family.
Yeah.
My parents were older and Amish, and then they got saved, and then they left.
Bro,
then
we were a charity. Yeah. Going around doing all the things. So the next question is you kind of covered that, but how did growing up, how did growing up Mennonite affect the view of yourself?
Well, a lot of things that happened to me as a child, I think, also played into that. So I don't know, just being Mennonite, I don't know, there was a lot of other things that played into it. I honestly always struggled with loving myself or I just hated myself. Mm-hmm. I hated how I looked. I feel like I was never quite as cool as my friends. One thing was in Sunday school and church, my friends would always have these inspiring things to say. And I feel like I don't even know if it was for real. And so I felt like I was just never quite as good of a Christian because I wouldn't always have something to say in Sunday school or
whatever. Dude, I feel that. I even have those thoughts sometimes today.
Yeah. And then this one guy would be like, if you don't have something to say, I have questions about your salvation.
Oh my gosh.
And I was okay, that's it. I'm not saved. And
that's terrible. You're just introverted.
Exactly. You ever heard of that?
That's crazy. Anyway,
I don't know if that covered it, but and I still honestly struggle with some of that. I'm not what they say I am. I'm what God says I am.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so when I was little, you weren't allowed to talk about yourself as pretty or smart or anything because I was very vain. Mm-hmm. And so, you
had to talk down.
You thought, you had to talk down to yourself to stay humble, you know? So it's hard not to hate yourself.
My aunt told us one time when we had one of our little siblings were just born. And we, of course, would always tell them, you're so cute. Right. Which is that you can't say that to the little kids.
Oh.
Like, they're going to get so proud.
Oh my goodness.
And that's crazy.
Right? I hope they are. I hope they're very proud of themselves and how they look and the
they're so people. Confident.
Right? Like, you want your kids to be confident.
Can I insert something here that happened in my life, but it's kind of related to that? I know people, we weren't really friends, but our families hung out together. And their family, they couldn't even look in the mirror. Like,
I've heard of
them. They wouldn't let their baby look into the mirror.
I've heard of
that. You looked in the mirror too much as a child.
And I look That's crazy. Too much now.
Impossible.
Okay. How did being Mennonite, like, I guess, affect your relationship with God? Like, did it or...
It did, yeah. Okay. I didn't get saved until I was, like, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt like... I was so embarrassed about it.
That's so sad.
But I was like, I just wasn't there yet.
Right.
Yeah, I just remember feeling like so much pressure to be a certain way, to look a certain way.
Right.
Yeah, so when I was 15, I got saved. And mind you, like, all of my friends got saved at like 12.
Yeah.
So it's been like a little while. Yeah.
So you were the heathen.
Yeah. And a lot of other things were going on in my life too. Right. So just like, I was very confused about just everything. So yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yep, that's perfect. Okay. What was leaving the Mennonites like for you?
It was really hard because leaving the Mennonites also meant like losing my friends.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's still a few people that if I meet them, they'll be nice.
Right.
Yeah. I lost my best friend. Most of all, like that's my best crazy. Friend. Yeah. She was just like, you know, it looks like we're choosing different paths in life.
It's like,
that's really sad.
Let me say something really fast. That's disgusting. And she...
Is missing out.
Like,
right.
That's crazy that people can do that in the name of God.
Yeah.
Like, just cut off their friends and be like, I'm not going to talk to you again because that's crazy.
Yeah, because we don't go to the same church.
Yeah.
How could you be friends? And it was also over the time of me talking about, like, some of the abuse that happened. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why we left. Because the church...
Tagline. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The church was just, like, putting it all under the rug.
Right.
They usually do. And my dad was like, okay, this is enough. And thankfully my dad, like, I didn't have to leave myself. Like, our whole family left.
Dude, that's awesome.
I know. And
Shout out to your dad.
Ben Graver is a bad...
He's a hero. Yeah, for sure.
He's a hero. That's what I was gonna say.
But he was just like, this is not gonna work for our family. Yeah. So he took a lot of the people, like, calling and saying mean things. Like, they took a lot of that, whereas I didn't personally have to.
I mean, that's
like,
good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know, like, so our family always talked about things. Like, if Dad got a text from someone, he would share it with the whole family. Because,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
I love that. Just the openness.
I mean, most of the time. I'm sure there were times where he didn't. But anyway, Dad would talk to us about, you know, so-and-so said this or that. And it was painful to see my dad hurting.
Right.
And I felt, like, almost responsible for his pain.
Yeah.
Because it was, a lot of it was because of me at the time.
Because.
And, like, us girls.
Yeah.
And Mom, you know, because it was all, like, about us, the way we dressed and all of that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, it was painful to see my dad hurting. But, yeah, I'm also thankful for him being, like, a father. And, like, this is enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's crazy that he got so much hate. That's from Christian people. Mm-hmm. Like,
the thing that I don't understand is we're not, like, when we, like, we left the Mennonites and the Amish, whatever, you know. It's not like we are mad about them being in a different church. Like, let me do what I need to do. Let me do what I need to do to feel like myself. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to, like, pressure you into doing this. So why are you pressuring me into it?
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Like, I really feel that.
Like, I don't know. Like, you make your choices, I'll make mine. Like, we're different people. You're not
responsible. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy how they think, or it feels like they think they've just attained. They've made it, like,
yeah,
right.
You can leave the Amish.
The epitome, that's great. Yes.
But when you're Mennonite, there's no more leaving. Like, like, you've reached your destination.
Yeah.
The epitome of Christianity, just at the top there.
Yeah.
And I just also want to say that I don't just, like, hate anyone who's Mennonite.
Yeah.
There are some people there that I love, like, and they love me and whatever. So it's more of, like, the culture really, it hurt me and my family, so that's part of our story.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're just, you know, like, all of us we left kind of to pursue a deeper relationship with God, or maybe even our leaving was as a result of finding a deeper relationship with God and him leading us out, you know? And so, yeah, it just kind of sucks that it makes so many people so angry that we're just trying to live our life and find joy and find God. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, upsetting for people, and I'm not quite sure why.
Do you know what I find so weird? Like, okay, first of all, God is sitting there, and there's, like, 8 billion people on this earth. However many, I don't know. Anyways, do you think he's looking down and he's saying, Keturah wore a skirt that was 2 inches above her knees. She's going to hell. Yeah. Meanwhile, there are, like, I don't get that.
Right.
He's not up there nitpicking. He's going to love us either way.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why that's so important. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's so weird.
I know. Once you get away from all of that, it's like, whoa, like.
It doesn't make sense. No.
Yeah. Was that actually, like, my reality?
You do. But yeah, it's crazy.
It's like a separate reality.
Yeah, like, I don't even think twice about waking up and putting on a pair of jeans anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas I used to have to, like, hide it. And,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
It's so crazy.
There's so much freedom in Christ.
There is.
Like, those little things, they're not.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
I mean, obviously, don't go be a stripper. You know what I mean?
Everything has, there's balance to everything, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like if God wanted us to have so many rules about what we wear and how we look, he would have put it in the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, he didn't. Mm-hmm. All of these rules are based off of one verse in the Bible. and it's so taken out of context.
They're good at that. They're good at taking things out of context.
Right? Yeah, it's confusing for, like, I remember asking my parents, like, why? Why does it matter what kind of clip we use to hold our covering on? And, like, they never had a good reason. And that's another reason, like, Dad just couldn't keep doing it is because, like, you can only say because the church tells us to do this so many times before it's just, like, this is insane. Another thing that was, I just remembered that was a big reality point for me was one of my best friends had went through something really tragic of, like, abuse and all of that.
Right.
And through that, she had started, like, changing a little bit how she dressed, and because someone was, like, forcing her to. I don't want to share her story, but anyway. And she would come to church, and people would just pounce on her. Like, you're not.
The poor thing.
And then when I, like, heard all this, I was like, they were just hurting her, like, kicking her while she was down.
For real.
Instead of being like, hey, something, because she would sit in the back crying. Like, it was obvious that something was going on.
The poor thing. Yeah. And people didn't care about that. They just cared about what she was wearing.
They only cared about what she was wearing. And so, yeah, that kind of, like, jolted me a little bit. Like, they really don't. They'll say, like, it's about the heart, you know? Mm-hmm. What's in the heart comes out, all this stuff. But they don't really care. Like, as long as you look the part, you're good. You're good to go.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, God is all about love. There's how many Bible verses are there that say God is love? And there's even Bible verses that say, you know, those who do not live in love do not live in God, you know? So, like, if you're living with God, if you're walking with God every day, you're going to have love and compassion for your fellow human beings. Because that's who God is.
It says they'll know who you are by your love for others.
Yes. Crazy times.
Okay. Katrina, how did leaving, like, did it change your relationship with God at all?
Yes, it did, because I felt like I had to, instead of just doing the things that the church told me to do, I had to figure out what I believed personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me search, and it also made me, like, it gave me a hunger to read God's word, because I was like, okay, I gotta, like, figure this out for myself.
Right.
And a lot of it was, like, unlearning things that I've been taught.
A big part.
That's a really hard thing about leaving. Everything that you know, you have to just strip it all away and just get back to God.
Because it's all through the minute I lived or something.
Yeah, like, it's all filtered through that. Mm-hmm. So that you have to earn salvation.
Yeah, so I feel like I was able to grow spiritually once I left.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't have all that pressure and
and it was just free
stuff just weighing you down.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter if I don't wear a skirt because I'm a child of God. And
And that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love that.
The next question is pretty heavy, and I know that it might be like, it's gonna make me emotional. I know that for sure. But so you were assaulted sexually assaulted by people close to you, right?
Right.
You were assaulted by Saddle Graver. And can you, like, talk about that experience and, like, how it affected you?
Sure. So, it started when I was 12. Yeah. And honestly, it's a huge part of my story because, like, all of the other questions you've asked so far, like, the abuse that was happening also, like, played a huge part in all of those.
Because, right.
Like, my view of God, everything was just, like...
Probably your view of yourself as well.
The view of myself, yeah, for sure. Like, that's a big one. But anyway, so it started when I was 12, and it just kept happening. I didn't talk about it because I was scared, period.
Rightfully so.
Like, people asked, why didn't you scream? Why didn't you run to your parents? Like, do you know how many times that actually happens? Never. That a child would just, especially like a 12-year-old, now if you're like six, you know, you might.
Right.
If you're a baby, but I was scared of what they were going to think because, like,
right?
I was like, it's my fault. It's like, I did something to deserve this or something.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And I was also just super confused by, like, what was happening. I knew it did not make me feel good. I knew it shouldn't be happening, but I didn't know what was happening.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, to go tell mom, it was just like, I didn't know what to say.
Right.
So I just, like, harbored these.
You're a child. Like, you don't, you're no child is ever supposed to experience that.
Okay.
Exactly.
No. And then when I was 16, I hit rock bottom and I fell into depression. At the time, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was depression. I started to actually be, like, physically ill where, like, I couldn't eat. And I actually dropped out of high school and I was in bed for months, like, only leaving when I had to go to the bathroom.
That's crazy.
Yeah, mom would bring me food, and I just wouldn't eat it. And I also lost friends through that because they thought I was making it up or something.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They didn't believe that it was, like, because we kept going to the doctor and everything would be clear.
Right.
I did CAT scans, I did MRIs, I did everything. Ultrasounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so... That was a really dark time, and there was a time where I wanted to kill myself. Like, if this is what life is, like, I don't want it.
Right.
I just didn't see, like, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And, eventually, after months of this, I had a friend. He just, like, asked me one night, he's like, who hurt you?
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I never told anyone, like,
right.
How do you know? Anyway, he had an experience with someone else, you know?
Right.
That the same thing happened, or she was just, like, sick. And so I told him. And I feel like that was when I started to heal. Like, it was part of my healing journey.
Sharing, like, talking to other people just...
Yeah, like...
I don't know,
I didn't
it's
have
so
to,
healing.
I didn't have to be carrying this all on my own anymore.
Yeah.
And...
Right.
So that was huge. And then he was like, you gotta tell someone.
Wow. God bless this man.
Yeah, he lived... way across the world at the time, and so he's like, you gotta tell someone close to you, you gotta talk about it. So I chose this person, and I called her and told her, and she was like, Keturah, she's like, you know what this will do to our family if you talk about it. She's like, your mom will overreact, Deborah will overreact, and then you're gonna ruin our family.
Okay, it is not possible to overreact to a child being sexually assaulted.
No.
That is the evilest of actions. There's no overreacting. Only underreacting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on. And this was somebody in your family that told you this?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really heartbreaking.
So I was just...
That's like the first person you chose to tell, and that's how she reacted. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she protected James when I came out with my story.
Wow. My brain's having a hard time comprehending.
Right. So yeah, I felt like I was silenced again.
Right.
So it took a long time for me to talk again. And then actually the girl I was talking about earlier, who was going through something, I ended up talking to her. And we had like similar stories and we were able to just like connect over that. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, I told my sister Delilah and she immediately texts Chris Allen and is like, the truth about you is going to come out. She called him a jerk, which is like the mildest thing you could ever say.
Yeah. But
she
at
later
the time,
had to,
when you're a child, like, you're like, oh.
She later had to, like, apologize to him for that.
Goodness.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it makes your head. Because
it was so harsh, you know.
So harsh to call someone a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he might never recover from that one.
Right.
Disgusting. Yeah. Not Delilah.
No.
Or whatever.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was at work and he texted me. Chris Allen texted me.
Oh.
And he was like, D texts me and is pretty upset. And He's like, I'm so sorry for everything I've done to you. I'll do anything to make it up, like to make it better.
Okay.
And he also said, I want you to know you're still a virgin. Which we can make up.
Fuck? No, not Judith. Are you like lying to
me? No, I'm so serious.
My brain is breaking.
Okay. And first, okay. And let me say something right now. You can't make that up. You did what you did. There's no making it up.
Yeah.
There's no like, making it better.
Shut your mouth. You cannot make that better. The only way you can make that better is if you
turn yourself in.
Yeah, turn yourself in. Maybe that'll make it better.
Right. And I did tell him that. And at the time, I was talking to my now husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he like mentioned that. He's like, I want you to know, like, you're a virgin. And like, I don't want you to go into marriage, like, thinking you're not. Like,
Chris Allen said this.
Yeah. And I was like,
I don't want you to go into marriage thinking you're not a virgin.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So I just immediately started crying at work. And it was a cleaning job. And it was this old lady who was like my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I was like, I just gotta go. Anyway, so that's kind of when it all started to come out. Dad and mom found out. Actually, my friend told her fiance, who then told dad.
Mm-hmm.
Which was super nice. Like, they obviously asked me first, like, hey, can we help you tell your parents? And that was amazing, because, like...
That's awesome.
It was so hard for me to just, like, go to mom and dad and be like, hey, Chris Allen's been raping me since I was 12. Like...
Right.
Like, how do you even... I couldn't do it.
I understand. Wow.
And anyway, so I went home from my work, and I actually fell asleep in my bed. And I woke up, and my parents were just sitting there in their room, like, sobbing.
Oh.
And they were... It was so emotional.
My goodness.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. And mm-hmm. Dad was like, we should probably go to, like, the church. And, you know, they will help us work through it. Dad was obviously doing what he thought was best. But that was, like, the biggest mistake ever. Because
but he didn't know.
No, he didn't know.
He'd been taught his whole life that if something happens, the church will take care of it.
He'll help you.
The authorities are not to be trusted.
So that's when all the church meetings started. Which was, like... Reliving the abuse times 10, it was horrible.
Wow.
Because we'd go sit at the bishop's house, and he would ask all the, like, questions.
Like, about what happened?
Yeah, like...
Wildly inappropriate. Yeah,
like, super deep questions, super personal questions.
Dude, that's awful.
Yeah, and he was sitting there typing it all out.
No, not this time.
Yeah, so he wrote it all.
Do you think he still has those?
I think he does, yeah. So I would love for him to, if you're listening to this, Ron Miller,
you can know where we're coming from.
Hit delete, like, because.
Dude, yeah. That's so not okay.
No, it's not. It was horrible. Like, those months of going through all those meetings were horrible.
I mean, yeah, that was probably, like you said, like, reliving the abuse over. Like,
because, yeah, and they wanted me to
you would feel so violated.
Like, dates, and, like, it felt like they were trying to get me to slip up in my story. They were trying to, like, oh, wait, you said this, so this doesn't make sense.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, like, you don't remember every date. You don't remember if this happened before this.
No, absolutely not.
Your brain tries to forget this stuff.
Right.
And, anyway, the last meeting was supposed to be with me and Chris Allen.
Right.
And it was going to be at Chris Allen's house.
Okay.
Which he was living with his parents at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the bishop wanted to put you and your... abuser in the same room.
Yes.
So you could talk about what happened?
Yes. He wanted us to apologize to each other. Yeah, because...
What did you have to apologize for?
I mean, they said I was, like, accused of being dressed inappropriately and, like, having part of it.
So you had to apologize to him?
But I didn't go. See?
Okay.
Here's where I was, like...
Smart girl.
I told my dad, I was, like, I'm not going. And he didn't force me to.
Way to go. My goodness.
Obviously.
The fact that they wanted you to do that, my brain is literally just breaking.
Yeah. I mean, get this. He wasn't even admitting to, like, anything at this point.
And Chris Allen wasn't?
Very minor, like, things that he was admitting to. He was saying he didn't do the things I was saying. They were just, like, so mild, you know. But they want him to apologize. We were settling on that. Like, the church was. The church and Chris Allen was.
Yeah.
I didn't have a say in the matter. And the meeting happened, and then the preacher at Chris Allen's church and the preacher at my church came to our house with these papers, and they're like, we want you guys to sign them.
What?
Basically saying that we weren't going to go to the police about it, and we forgive. We're going to forgive and forget.
Did you sign the papers?
I did, yeah.
My damn.
So did my family.
Dude, that's crazy. And then
I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, this is closure. Like, we're going to just move on from this.
Right.
But of course, like, it wasn't. Right. It just, like, added to the hurt and to the pain.
Definitely.
So I didn't talk about it for a little while, and I just tried to push my feelings to the back of my brain. And there was a girl that Chris Allen was engaged to, and, of course, he cheated on her. And so I ended up talking to her, and she was like, "Why didn't you tell me?" She said, "I almost married him."
And that good really for you shook
for
me.
Telling her. Yeah. I thought that was really hard for you.
It was. That really shook me because I was like, how many more people are getting hurt right now? Because yeah. I'm not going to the police. And now I find out that Lizzie was one of them over that time. And so I went to Dad and I was like, I am going to the police.
Dang, good for you.
Like, okay. With or without anyone else's support, I'm going.
I just want to take a moment to, like, applaud you. You, by yourself. Nobody even, like, told you that to go to the police. Yeah. But you, by yourself, realized that that was what needed to happen. Even though everybody in your life was telling you you needed to just forget about it. Because, and just forgive.
So brave of you.
Like, I'm blown away. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a rough time in life, for sure. But anyway, Dad and Mom. And Ezra actually ended up taking me to the Allen County Police Department. And
I'm glad you had, like, them to support you. I know. And I'm glad you had Ezra.
I know. I'm very thankful for that. So we went and I did the interview in person. And it was hard. But, like, the compassion coming from, like, a detective versus the bishop.
Right.
Was totally different. Like, he was like, "I'm so sorry. Like, I had to ask this."
Meanwhile, bishop is just, like interrogating you and trying to,
So it was hard, but it was nothing like the church had treated me.
Right.
So I reported it, and then a few months later, I get a letter saying there's not enough evidence, like, the case is closed.
That's so sad. You went through all that.
Yeah, but then I just felt like I did what I needed to do.
Right. You did as much as you could do.
So yeah, I got married and moved to Tennessee, and life went on. But, I mean, was that like a year ago? Lizzie got brought here. And then our stories kind of tied together.
I remember the day that I came over to Keturah's house.
I wanted to, like, hear your story because I knew that I had to, like, hurt you. And, but I didn't, like, know how to, like, I didn't just want to be, like, abrasive.
So. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have you and your sisters to thank for all of that. So, she's...
Yeah, when Lizzie came to my house and we... talked about, like, dates and times where things were happening, and I realized that over that time where everyone was like, Chris Allen repented, like, he was crying in church, and, like, over that time he was abusing Elizabeth, and so I called his sisters and I was like, I'm not gonna stop until he's in prison. Right. So we got everyone who, all of his victims that would talk, and we turned it in again. And
so wow, it's good for you girls.
Yeah, and then reported it in another county. They picked up charges. So,
that's awesome.
Allen County doesn't really seem to care, which is really sickening. There's a lot of Amish in the nights in that county, and
they're all just getting away with
it. Yeah, they're just getting away with it, and children are getting hurt.
It's so crazy to me that still to this day, a lot of people are lying to themselves and saying, this isn't true, like, this didn't happen.
Right, I know.
But the thing is about it is, like, you're telling me, because we didn't even know each other. Well, like, we
knew each other. Right, like, you were, like, Orpha's little sister.
I knew that it happened to you, mm-hmm. but that was a long time ago.
You and also heard it through them.
Yeah.
And so it was a little twisted.
And so, tell me why else, if this didn't happen. Like, I didn't know your story, mm-hmm. like, I heard it from other people, but... like, most of our stuff matches up. And it's like, yeah, like, oh my gosh, like, he did this to me too. Like, he said this, he said, like, some of the same things to us. Like, tell me how somebody's just going to make that up.
Right.
It's disgusting that people think that. Right. And I just want you to clarify, like, if you think that we're making this up, like, you got issues and you were lying to yourself and you got to fix that really fast.
Seriously. Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. And you're defending people who are literally evil. Like, I'm not even sugarcoating that.
Yeah, no, they're...
You're evil. You're not, like, you're not a good person. So you're defending somebody who is hurting kids. Mm-hmm. And you're happy about it. And you're so confident about it, which is crazy to me. You're confident enough to make a Facebook post about it.
Yeah.
And call people who were abused, let me clarify, abused by these men, had all of this trauma, all of this stuff going on, and then you comment... on, can I talk about this? You comment on a Facebook post and call. And do you know what I think? I think because you made it so public on Facebook, I can make it pretty public here. Diane Loniger. I can't even remember her name. But this little girl comments on a Facebook post and calls Keturah and everybody else, your sisters, whoever else went through it. I don't want to mention their names because I don't know if they want me to share that or not. Calls them incestual whores. Tell me how you're going to sit there and defend men like that. And just, right? And you're, she was so confident the whole time. Confident.
You're just okay with doing. Defending pedophiles.
It's insane.
And going after their victims.
I believe.
It's not of God.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not
even slightly.
These people, like, I don't know.
Like, you guys were children when this happened. You were 12 years old, you said?
Yeah. And they were adults.
And so, and another thing this little Diane said is that children can be perverted.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Like, what has happened to you in the first place? Like, are you okay? Do you need help? Are you safe? Like, whatever.
Right.
All of the things. Like, because if you can think that about kids, like, you're a little perverted, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Children cannot be perverted. We don't...
Adults pervert them.
Exactly.
And children can't consent.
No.
Let's just... For all the people who are saying that, like...
Didn't she say that to you?
Yeah,
that children can consent? Girl, you gotta give me a fat break right now. Like, I am so excited.
Yeah, when I opened up my phone and saw that, I was tagged in a post. And I read it, I was like, oh my gosh. I actually was driving and I got pulled over, like, immediately. Because I forgot to turn my lights on. And so I was, like, freaking out. And then I got pulled over and it was a whole thing. And my friend Susie was with me.
Yes.
And she's like, you're gonna stay calm, whatever.
That's crazy.
And that was, like, okay, that was, like, a year ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't very long. So this was recent.
That's right when we all came out with our stories. And then that's when she...
Yeah.
She started yelling at everybody. So, like,
it was insane.
That's crazy.
Can I say another thing
here?
Diane or Diana, whatever your name is, honestly, it's not very relevant to me. But can you go look at the DM I sent you, please? Please. I have some suggestions on how you can fill your time. And you're not looking at it. And I'm so depressed because, like, I feel like if you got it, you know, as I said in the DM, I said, I've heard... The cats are nice company. Anything. If you're this lonely and depressed and you need somebody around you so you can talk, get a cat. Or text me. I'll talk to you. This is fun. I'm just saying, like, I'm mad at her. I don't have any great
feelings. Yeah, there was, like, no reason for that. That was completely unacceptable.
No kidding.
And it's also a, like, all the other victims seeing this, it says something to them, like.
Right.
Like, it sends a very clear message.
Yeah.
Like, if you do this, you're going to be, like, there's going to be loads and loads of people who will text you, say mean, mean stuff about you, which is scary in the first place. Everybody can say, I don't care what they think, but they do.
It hurts.
And especially if you're trying to speak the truth, and then people are coming at you for that. That is disgusting.
Right.
Give me a break.
Right.
Anyways. I'm sorry for, like, going on that.
No, that thing, was good.
But I'm disgusted, so.
Was there, like, other people that also said, can you just, like, talk for a little bit about all the hate you got? For, let's be clear, the hate you got for coming forward and bringing light to just, I don't know how to say this. Like, you were exposing sin that needed to be exposed.
Yeah, and it felt like
and Satan you were getting, hates yes. And so Satan was using people to attack you.
Yeah. For sure. There was a guy who messaged my mom and was like, hey, like, I would have not been able to keep myself from doing the same thing Chris Allen did if your daughters would have acted the way they did to him around me.
So he's admitting to being a pedophile.
Yeah.
I keep going.
Anyway. Well, I am shocked into silence right now.
And I don't know what they're talking about because we were little children. We were dressed, so, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Little pilgrims.
Yes, with the long dresses and the capes.
Like, our PJs were skirts and shirts, okay?
Yep, same.
So, shut up. Like, that is just insane to me. People, they also say, like, oh, they wanted it. It was, you know, I enjoyed it, whatever.
Oh.
That was super hard for me to hear because the very thing that destroyed me.
Right.
As a child, destroyed my childhood in my teen years.
Right.
You're saying I enjoyed, like, that really got me worked up. More than being called a slut and a whore. Like, that always, like, hit me hard.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that even a word? That's what I want to know. Ancestral. That's probably like a dying moniker in her like little dictionary. She probably has like a spunk in the dictionary.
Insults with graber girls.
Bro, this is crazy.
Do you want to read some of the messages here?
Let me see.
You're going to look it up, the screenshots. Let's go.
Yeah, one thing about me is I'm going to have screenshots.
So. I love it.
I also want to say that Adam and Rosalie Miller are horrible. Like, they've said some horrible things. And I hope for the sake of their little children that they have a change of heart in all of this because their kids aren't safe.
Really?
Like, if a parent is going to... Okay, if something was to happen... And that goes for, like, 90% of the people back in Allen County.
Right.
Like, if something was to happen to their children, they're not going to come to their parents because of the things their parents have said.
Yeah.
They're not. They're going to be scared to ever talk about it because if this happened to me, I'm what they said those other girls are.
Right.
Or I'm a slut. I'm a...
That is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand how, as a parent, someone can be okay with the idea of their children being around pedophiles.
Right.
And somebody can defend pedophiles and
preach.
Like, I don't understand how you can call yourself a loving parent and expose your children to that kind of evil.
Okay, now do that. You have to do that.
I'll just let you do it. Oh. I can't snap my fingers. It's a thing. See, look.
She really can't. She can't do it.
I can't do it with that. I can do it a little bit with this hand, but I can't do it with this hand. Snaps.
With a click. Is a click or click? Click.
I don't know.
No, it's the sound. I have so much brain rot, it hurts. Someone said on Facebook, someone with no name in there, I don't know who that is, but she said, 12 is almost a teen. Of course you can consent.
Oh my damn.
This bitch better be playing with me. Honestly, like, a huge reason for, like, going and turning this in is, honestly, like, 99% of my reason for turning it in is to protect all the little children back home.
That's amazing.
Do you know how many people think we're doing it because of their revenge? I know. And that's, like, their main concern is, like, what's your motive behind this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? They don't care about that. It's just their main concern is our motive.
The thing that's is, wild. What does it matter what our motive is?
Right.
Like, literally, why? Because they did this stuff. And it doesn't, like, in any context, whatever our motive is, it shouldn't matter. They are pedophiles. They hurt kids.
Right.
They deserve to go to jail. Our motive is not even a part of this conversation right now. Like, get away from me with that. Like,
exactly.
Disgusting.
Absolutely. Go off, and girl. Then,
yeah. Just seeing the way people reacted to it, it's like, yeah. Kids aren't safe back there.
And for real.
And it makes, like,
that's heartbreaking.
Easy targets. It's horrible.
Right.
Because... Everyone has been silenced. The kids have been silenced. The victims. Like, it takes a lot to stand up for the right thing.
Right. I mean, you would know because you did it.
Yeah, there was another person that called and was like, he actually called my dad and he was like, your girls are now in this entire community for being sluts. And
okay.
Yeah, they like the amount of times that we've been called like sluts and whores is just crazy. Like,
emphasis from, on from crazy. People.
Yeah.
From Christian people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
and she's doing air quotes right now, by the way.
Right? Like, people that claim to be filled with the love of God that are saying all these horrific things about you.
Yeah.
Like, that had to have been so damaging to your view of God and Christianity. Because it's like, well, if this is what God is.
Yeah. For real.
Like, I don't want
these
that.
These are, like, our leaders. These are our...
Right?
People who claim to be children of God.
People that you're supposed to look up to.
Exactly. And it was confusing.
Makes it hard to look up to them.
You know? It made it a little easier to, like, it was pretty black and white to our family.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
Like, this is not of God.
Right.
Here's the thing. I think if you are of sound mind, you know what's right and what's wrong in this situation.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you know? You know what's...
Like that, what she said.
Yeah.
Probably. You know what's right and wrong because God tells you.
Yeah. Trying to think of other... I've been trying to, like, forget all the hate, you know?
That's right. So understandable, gosh.
Not that long ago, in the past year, I had a couple show up on my porch and they're like... The one thing they said is, like, we don't know who to believe.
Mm.
Like, we don't know if you're lying or...
Excuse me?
If Chris is lying. Like, we don't know. And I was like...
Period. So they came to your house. They came to your house and were like, well, We don't believe you.
Do you know who it is?
No, tell me. Who is this?
It's Jeremy and Darlene.
They did not.
Yeah, that's when I knew that we couldn't be friends anymore.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And mind you, like, before Darlene or I was married, or she lived with us when I was going through a lot of this, she knows. You know what I mean?
Right. She saw firsthand.
She chose.
How it broke you.
She chose to be a coward in the whole mess because she never wanted to lose friends, you know? And to this day, she's still buddies with them.
That's crazy. So it's just breaking my brain a little bit that these people showed up at your house.
Right? I know. It's pretty bold.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to hit them, but I didn't. So praise the Lord.
Showing some real self-control over there.
I wouldn't have that level of restraint, I don't think.
Like, that is, in what world is that okay?
But that was, like, not that long ago, and at this point, I've healed so much. And so, like, the stuff that people say doesn't hurt quite as bad, because, like, I'm pretty confident, and like, I know that I'm doing the right thing.
You know, you know you have God on your side.
Exactly. Like, it's been so obvious to me. So.
Yeah. Dude, that'd be... I'm so sorry that you have to go through all this just because you chose to do the right thing and expose this sin.
It's definitely really made it very obvious who the people that are safe people.
Right.
Like it's made it very obvious.
What a crazy story.
That is, yeah, that is insane. And there was a lot of rage going through my body the whole time. So,
I mean, which is the natural human
reaction to anything like that. That's
right.
According to some people, that's should be overreacting.
Oh.
We don't overreact.
Oh my goodness.
But listen, I'm going to be overreacting for the rest of my life, and no one's going to
Same girl.
No one's going to stop me. So I think we already talked about, so the next question was going to be, what was it like coming forward and talking about it? But we kind of covered that already. Do you have anything more you want to say about that?
I don't think so. I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. But there was also a time where I was like, regretting ever saying a word. I was like, I should have never said anything. Like, I wish I would have just been able to die and like everything would be
I believe painful. It
which you're just like looking back it's crazy that like any person would have to feel that way
for real that's so like, sad
yeah I remember telling my friend I was like I wish like I wouldn't have ever said a word
that's really sad
for what it's worth I'm glad you did
I am too now like I look at like you for example like if I wouldn't have been able to use my story and I hope that in the future I can help other people with it because I don't think it was ever God's will that it happened.
Definitely not.
Because God never condones to hurting a child. But I think with God's help, we can make something beautiful out of it. And use the story to help other people.
Right. Yeah. Because all this stuff is still happening.
It is. Yeah. And it will continue.
Yeah. There's hundreds, thousands of little girls and Mennonite communities all over the world that this exact thing is happening to right now. And they're scared and alone.
And if anyone, like, needs anything, like, if you need anything, Keturah will be open, and we both
all of us, yes, like, we
reach
want,
out. Like,
the whole reason we're doing this podcast is because we want to help, well, and it's not just little girls, but, like, little boys, too, you know,
or adults who have had it happen when they were children, like, it's, you still need to talk about it, even if you're 20 now, and when you were 7, like,
yeah, your story deserves to be heard. It does. And we want to help you.
Yeah, and everyone deserves healing. And God is a healer. He came to heal. So you don't have to live in that pain forever.
Right.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Yeah.
So something that I'm curious about, did having like Christian people say all of these things to you, did it affect your relationship with God like at all?
Yeah, because I felt very, I went through a time of like feeling very distant from God. Like, I didn't, I kind of stopped praying. I just, like, I was like, if this is what God is, like, I'm kind of just done with it. Like, I knew he was real. I just lost, like, all motivation to, like, seek him. And
completely understandable. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I just didn't really want anything to do with it for a little while. So, yeah, it definitely.
I mean, it would anyone, I believe.
Yeah, for sure.
If that's the example that you have of God, people calling you a whore because you were raped, like, that's...
It's hard to wrap my mind around that, like...
Yeah. Well, I'm just so thankful that you got out of that and that God found you in all that mess and was, like, showed you who he really is. And that all of the stuff that was happening to you was not him. Like,
amen.
And you chose to listen to God. And you chose to keep
praise
thinking.
The Lord.
Amen.
You gotta do the TV ones.
What are the TV?
I know, I'm looking at myself in the mirror. Y'all, what are you about it? You know when people are like in church and they're worshiping and they're like, my Savior, come and join us on this earth below. And that's not even
okay,
a song.
Okay, but why does your voice sound so good?
It's not even a song. Okay.
Well, it is now. You just wrote a new hit just
so
now.
Don't
chum now. What page? 86 or not?
Yeah, that'll do.
Oh, okay.
I think my hymnal had like 500 pages. Remember those like just like
100.
Those hymnals that were like 4 inches thick. 100. Crazy.
In school, we had this little, like, it was, like, this thick, like, a book of songs. And my favorite page was 86. And so I just feel like my song should be on page 86.
My favorite page was 919.
919.
Yeah,
that's crazy. There's the amount of hymns in the world.
Yeah, I think it went to 1,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So many people writing songs.
I like being basic. Okay. Well, okay, this is a question that I'm actually very interested in. What ways have you seen God working to bring about healing and restore trust in him?
So when I came to the realization that the way these people are treating us is not of God, mm-hmm. that's not God. God is love. God is, like, that's the absolute opposite of God. And that God came to heal us, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a healer, which I mentioned earlier. That's when I started to just, like, realize that's not God. And then I wanted to, like, seek him and figure out who he really is.
Right.
So what was the question again?
So basically, like, what has God done for you to, like, restore your faith in him, basically?
I mean, so many things. I feel like he literally saved my life.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I talked to a therapist and, I mean, I don't know, therapist, counselor, something like that.
Right, somewhere.
And I was able to, I feel like that's when I really found healing. We just, like, prayed through mm-hmm. all of this darkness. And,
that is awesome.
And I was able to just let it go. And Ezra and I were able to do it together, which was amazing.
That's amazing.
Aww, and I love that.
So yeah, that was like a huge turning point for me mm-hmm. because I was struggling and I felt like I shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so yeah, we finally went and talked to someone and shout out to my dad and Ezra for like getting that around. And because I don't know, honestly, what would have happened if I didn't, because I was drowning and because I was like, I thought I was okay. I thought it was going to be. It never comes to the point where, like, this is all behind me. This is not, like, it's going to affect you. And that's okay. You're going to think about it. You're going to have hard days.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to cling to God's promises. And it's okay to have hard days.
Right.
It's okay to, if you have a nightmare, it doesn't mean that everything you've went through, it's just, like, because I'd be like, I thought I worked through this.
Right.
I thought it was fine. And now I'm not, like,
it does.
I'm relating so hard,
yeah.
You know? Like, you think you've worked through something.
Yeah, and also, like, people always like to bring up forgiveness. And forgiveness doesn't mean you forgive them one time and you never speak of it again.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. They want that. And I thought you forgave them. Why are you talking about it? No, girl.
Right.
No, girl. That's not how it works. And so that was confusing because I was like, I thought I worked through this. I thought I forgave him. And now I have all these feelings inside.
Right.
Like, what do I do with it? And now, like, you have to forgive over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiving doesn't mean that you're just going to sit there and let it continue to happen to other people.
Right.
Because forgiveness will never stop a monster.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it was, like, these church leaders getting hurt, it would be handled a lot differently.
Right. Because sometimes I wonder if the reason all these church leaders do not take stuff like this seriously is because they've done similar things.
Yeah.
They have their own past sins and whatever.
Yeah,
and so they don't want to bring too much attention to what people
yeah,
in their congregation
guilty.
Are
yeah,
doing
that,
because then they would have to admit their own guilt to themselves, you know? But that's just a theory I have.
In one of our meetings through that time, one of the church leaders said, you know, I want you to repent of any part you had in it. And he's like, because I was once in Chris Allen's shoes.
Oh, not the admitting it. That's crazy.
That was, like, crazy to me. Like,
oh, my God.
That was actually the last meeting I went to. I was like, I can't do this. I can't sit here and share my story to another man who openly said he's also
right.
a pedophile.
So you made the right call. That was for sure.
I don't know if there's like a certain time where I was like, it was like a journey. It was a process of like healing. And
absolutely.
I love that.
Turning back to God. And I'm still on that journey. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It never ends. You know, there's always more of God to be discovered and there's always more healing to be had, especially when you've been through as much as you. I love what you said about forgiveness being something that you have to do like over and over.
Right.
It's very inspiring for me personally. Like, it's a good reminder that not to give up on.
Exactly. And forgiveness is not something that, like, we can just look over and be like, when something happens, like, I do believe, like, I have to forgive him, but.
Mm-hmm.
And people love to just shove that down your throat. Forgive and forgive. Okay. And it makes a lot of people bitter. Like, absolutely not.
Right.
But, like, we forgive for our own good.
Right.
And forgiveness also takes time. And it took time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still forgiving. And I forgive because I don't want to live in turmoil my whole life.
Yeah. It's so, not fun.
That's a beautiful
I love
thing
that.
You just said. Okay. Bish, you ready? Final question of the day. I'm so excited. Yes, I'm excited about this question because I just want to hear what your opinion is. So what advice would you give to other people who have experienced assault?
First of all, you've got to talk about it with someone.
Yeah, 100%.
If there's someone listening to this who had things happen to them and it's just eating them alive, like, you got to talk about it. It doesn't have to be your parents. It can be anyone. Mm-hmm. Anyone who you trust. And maybe they'll say what my aunt said to me. You can't talk about it. Try again. There are people
out
there.
Try someone else.
There are people out there who really care. I mean, you can talk to me. You can message me, even if, and I'll help you.
Ooh, what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, let's hear that.
Let me just look.
Yes. Also, Lizzie and I, our Instagram handle is Why We Left. So you can find us on Instagram.
That's right. And mine is just Couture Mahor.
Couture Mahor.
Mahor. Spelled MAWHORR. Right?
That's right.
Perfect.
And then, sorry.
It's so crazy to me that your last name has whore in it.
I know, right? It suits. Like, that's what I knew.
That's what you knew. You're like, this has been my destiny all along. Anyways, so yeah, reach out to us.
So, another thing, it was never your fault.
Never. Never.
Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what. Your child, your abuser was not. And it's not your fault. Like, I don't care. Period.
Amen. Just preach.
That
preach,
is
honestly.
Facts, like, right there.
That's amazing.
Because that was a big thing for me. Like, I blamed myself.
Yeah.
Because I blamed myself for not screaming. I blamed myself for all these stupid little things that they planted in my head.
That's heartbreaking.
It's horrible. And then for a child to have to process that is just another level of abuse. So,
yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my advice. And I think that's all.
Can I share something that happened to me this week?
Tell us.
It's about the TikTok lady.
Yeah.
I posted a little petty TikTok. Like, it was kind of petty. It was not, like, it wasn't very productive to my life.
And don't downplay it.
It was just,
like, your TikTok. You're allowed to post what you
exactly,
want.
Exactly. That's what
you're
I'm
allowed
saying.
To,
like,
speak out.
I'm not saying, like, I didn't take the TikTok down. I'm not going to. But, like,
right.
But, like, it wasn't, obviously, it wasn't, like, I needed to do it or I was going to go insane. Like, whatever. Yeah. But then this little girl. Oh, she makes me so mad every time I think about it. Her name was Jennifer or something, but I'm pretty sure I know who it is. She said, and this is just something that I wanted to say because.
Like, and this was a TikTok that you posted about James.
Yeah.
James Graber.
Because I'm, like, probably gonna lie to you. I'm still bitter about the whole thing.
Right.
And I'm trying to forgive, but it's hard.
It takes time.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. There's no...
And it's not
and
like,
you do have...
Like, I still get bitter at times. I do. And I have not reached my destination. Like,
right.
I'm not...
Well,
not
because... Yeah. Because, like, you have a right to be angry.
Exactly.
Like, I think the natural human response to a child being raped should be anger.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that makes God very angry. Like, the harming of innocence.
Sure.
So, like... And I don't know, to me, when people get really angry at stuff like this happening, to me, that's a sign that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I know God hates when stuff like this happens.
I mean, look at the Bible verses in Matthew where God talks about, like, the harming of innocence. Like, yes. You could drown. Like, that's pretty drastic.
Millstone, measure. Actually.
Yeah.
Millstone hung around you. Here, let me just find this verse and read it. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall in sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 18:6. So, like, God does not take the harming of innocent children lightly. Yeah. And we should not either. So, like, it's natural to be angry, but also I get that you wanna forgive, because like Keturah said, you don't wanna let it fester and cause you more turmoil.
Also, like Keturah said, forgiving is for yourself. It's not for the person who harmed you. It's for you. And like, I don't want to be bitter about it, but I am, because, you know, he took a lot from me. Which is, but anyways, my point here is she said, her first comment said, "You're not innocent." Yeah. And I'm like,
that was crazy.
Like,
okay, that's, and then, okay. And then I was like, kind of, I cried for a little bit, and then I was like, oh. And then so Keturah and Jody were kept responding, and there was like a whole thing. And then she's like, why don't you come out here and talk for yourself instead of letting your friends say stuff for you? And so then I was like, I made a whole response video. I was going to do this. And then I was like, no, like I'm not wasting my time like this. Anyways, my point is, she also said, what he did was wrong, yes, but also what you're doing is wrong by telling the whole world about it.
Okay, whatever. Like, that is such bullshit. Like, let me read another Bible verse.
Yeah, the one about,
exposing. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Luke 12:2.
Yeah, and the reason why it's so funny to me is because she used a fake name on her TikTok. She didn't have a profile picture. It's like, she was so confident about everything she was saying. And then I was like, oh, like, baby, get out of my comment section. You're embarrassing yourself. And then she's like, oh, please, you're embarrassing yourself on your podcast. And I was like, oh, pissed me off. I was mad. But anyways, I'm over here like, girl, you're acting so confident, and you believe that what you think is right, whatever, I don't even care. Like, ugh, I do care, obviously. But the thing is, if you want to say stuff like that, do it when you're, like, do it where I can see who you are. Like, don't hide. If you have an opinion, come to my face, tell me. Like, don't be a little coward. Like, come talk to me. And why do we have to make these things public? She could have slid right into my DMs, and I would have probably not answered her, but, you know. Like, sickening, people like that. Like, if you want to talk crap about people like that, who don't, okay, I'm talking crap.
No, but
at the same time, like, I have a reason to. It's not like I'm just, like out and about. I literally, in my response video, I was going to say, I can buy you a coffee if you want me to. Like, if you're that bored, I will send you money to go out and do something fun. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm broke, but I'll still do it for you. Whatever. Anyways, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, it kind of shows how miserable they are.
Miserable. Get a life. Do something. What? And second of all, whichever of all. Why are we making it? Like, why are you making it your personal life's mission? Okay, first, if you want to get in the situation, which we're putting out in public, we're not doing this because we're like, I mean, obviously we talk a lot of crap on our podcast.
No, we don't talk crap. We say the truth. We say what happened.
That's what I meant. Is that not what I said? That's what I meant.
It is crap.
Because that is, you know, that's what you're supposed to do with sin. You're supposed to expose it. Like that verse I read, like, there's no sin that will not come to light.
Yeah, and, like, our hope is to, or my hope for, like, sharing my story is to help someone else. Like, that's always been my goal. I've always felt like that's how God was going to use my story.
Right.
Is to help other people, and I feel like he already has with Elizabeth and my sisters. And because when something happened to you, it's easier to help people. Like, you know, because you can relate.
I just think that if you, like, this is my thing. I knew when we started doing this podcast, we were going to get hate for it. I knew.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a controversial subject in the first place.
Like, it shouldn't be, but yes, it is.
It shouldn't be, but it is. But the thing is, if you're going to come and you're just going to, like, not even have the courage to go into my DMs, like, you're just going to flat out, like, comment on myself.
Yeah.
Angry, hateful things. When you don't even really have a point, you're just doing it to do it. Like, it's not helping you in your life.
And it hurts more than they know.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's painful to see all this stuff. It's like, you're not innocent. Okay, that's what I've been questioning for the last 15 years of my life. Like, most people who go through stuff like this will question.
Because that's like, because you blame yourself, especially when the people around you blame you.
Yes. Right.
then of course you're going to blame yourself.
And it's disgusting how people will, and we've seen this over and over again, how people will literally blame the victim and they'll say, well, you're not innocent, well, you're a whore, whatever. Like, disgusting. Be a better person. Yeah. Be better. Like, mm-hmm. it's literally as easy as not typing. You don't have to type. Yeah. You can just, you can see what you, if my post, if what I say makes you angry, and it's like, well, she's, okay, scroll. Or hit the next button. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal. You don't have to be hateful towards me. You don't have to be hateful to any of us. Like, we're not bad people. We're just talking about us, ourselves, right. And, like, what we went through. And we're all, like, nice enough people, I think. Anyways, so, like, all I'm saying is you're, like, out here hurting people who are just trying to live their life and trying to share their stories. So it's kind of disgusting. Right. Yeah, but anyways, I'm done now.
I think it's even crazier when it's, like, girls, especially, like, close to our age.
Yes.
Like, what happened to being, like, a girl's girl? What happened to, like, supporting other women? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, if it's an old, perverted man, like, that's still horrible, see, but
that would hurt my feelings.
It's not quite as,
right. Yeah. But when it's a girl that is, like, Jessica at the age of 20, like,
yeah,
like, girl, like, what happened to you? And, like,
or Jeanette at the age of 25? I don't know where. Anyways, that was not a specific name. I'm just throwing names out there, you know. Anyways, but it's okay. Just, like, be better. It's easy.
I also wanted to add that I had a conversation with someone just a week ago, and she kept saying, our hands are tied. And while, like, this woman is a very sweet woman who's whatever, but your hands aren't tied.
Right.
If you go to church with these people and you're just, okay, will you read this?
Yeah. Okay, so it says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. 1 Corinthians 5.
I think that says it, like, pretty straightforward.
Damn, that's crazy.
It's like,
that is, yeah, it does.
Sure, there's so much you could do, but as long as you're still fellowshipping with people like Chrysal and James, like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah, the Bible says expel the wicked person from the
church.
Yeah,
don't even eat with them. And that's pretty clear.
That is pretty clear.
Very clear.
I don't
think there's anybody that can question that, really.
No,
it's in the Bible.
And it's talking about the people who claim they're Christians. Mm-hmm. It's not talking about the people in the world who just don't even claim to be a Christian.
It says God will take care of those people. You got to take care of
them. So anyway.
That's amazing.
Thank you for
I'm so glad words. You found those verses. Amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was reading the other day and came across them. I was like, okay, let's pause. Why don't we talk about this in churches?
You know what I mean? Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing.
I feel like God is just, like, through this all, there's been so many, like, he just reveals himself to me and makes it so, like, obvious that he's on my side. Like,
I was just,
and, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, even just, like, with you not moving back and stuff, and then the things that happened in the week to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, that was God.
Yeah.
You know?
1000%.
God's out here watching out for us.
So anyway, we could probably talk for days. But
for real. We'll have you on again, you know?
So yeah, we have.
We can talk some more. Anyway, we'll just wrap up. We usually pray for everybody before we sign off. Did you want to do that, Keturah, or should I?
We should do it.
Do a little prayer for the people on the pod?
Sure, I can do that.
Perfect.
Dear God, I come before you right now, and I just thank you for Judith and Elizabeth. Thank you that they had the courage to make this podcast and that we could share our stories and hopefully help another person, even if it's just one person, talk about their story and what happened to them. God, I just pray for all the little children out there that are hurting, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to them and show them that the things that are happening to them is not of you. That is not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's never their fault. Thank you for this beautiful day.
Thank you so much for being on, Keturah. I'm very honored that you shared your story with us.
Thanks for
it was
beautiful.
Very inspiring.
That was a good episode.
I'm very excited about this episode.